I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for Warriors This Week. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Durant for three, way downtown.
Now, here's Matt Stymiest and John Dickinson. Let's go.
And welcome in. Good Saturday morning to you. John Dickinson joined by Mark Medina of the Bay Area News Group for the next 4 hours. We can call this our NBA free agency special on Warriors This Week. It's a pleasure, Mark, for you to be in studio joining me here. Really appreciate the time. And what a time it is. Just news flooding in. We'll kind of get into the latest on everybody with the Golden State Warriors and league-wide as the free agency period now set to open in 30 hours. Let that countdown clock tick away. 30 hours from now, teams can officially meet and even agree to terms.
Yeah, JD, first of all, it's an honor to be on the air with you as always, but I'm holding in my left hand like a shot of venti mocha, a lot of caffeine, but I'm also overly caffeinated with all this free agency news. Like, this is stuff that we've been talking about all season, but now this is the time where there's going to be clarity, meetings are going to be setting up, and we know which stars are going to align with which teams. It should be a fun time.
And it should be a wild ride for the next 4 hours. There have just been, you're filing stories, you're confirming things, you're talking to sources in here for the last hour trying to get the absolute latest news on everything going on with the Warriors. So let's just start there. And we are going to be joined by Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated coming up at about 10:45. Tim Bontemps of ESPN, 11:30. He's a regular contributor to the show. And also Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, is scheduled to appear at 12:30. Your phone calls are always welcome. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Mark, let's start just with Kevin Durant, right? And everything going on with him. A lot of news just from late last night and on into the morning, both with what maybe Durant could be thinking and how the Warriors are going to approach attempting to get him to re-sign with Golden State. Why don't you just kind of start with the latest here with Kevin Durant, even some of the stuff that we've been watching and you've been confirming this morning.
Right. Well, as of now, I mean, the plan for Kevin is to have some meetings this weekend once free agency starts, 3 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday, meeting with the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Golden State Warriors. Warriors general manager Bob Myers had said earlier this week that it was his plan to meet with Durant at some point in free agency. So that looks like that he's going to be in New York for part of that. So I think you can look at it through both prisms, JD. One, the Warriors still have a shot. They're not eliminated, but the fact that there's three teams I think have a legitimate chance of landing KD might make Bob Myers feel nervous. I mean, it was just very interesting. I'm eager to hear your thoughts. When he was talking after the draft, when he was introducing the draft picks, he just looked very stressed out, and he almost had this feeling of almost if you're in a relationship and you sense things might be ending, he kind of had that demeanor that, you know, he
like
might
you
be,
either know
he might
or
be
you
letting
think you
let
know
down a little bit and saying, it's not you, it's me, but we have to end things.
Yeah, and you also have Adrian Wojnarowski, along with Ramona Shelburne, reporting that Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard engaging in discussions and free agent scenarios where they could possibly play together. So that's even a new wrinkle from what's been reported and what we knew coming into the morning when we all woke up.
Yeah, and if I'm a Lakers fan, I don't like that news because two things. One, the Lakers might have cap space to get another max player. They don't have cap space to get two max players. So if Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard are talking about joining forces, you can X the Lakers out even from the beginning. I was always skeptical because of people in the know telling me that Kevin Durant had no interest in playing with the Lakers, mainly because of LeBron James. Hey, don't get it twisted. They're good friends or former USA, Team USA teammates. They would work out in the summer. But, you know, he wants to compete against LeBron James as far as championships and the legacy talk of who's the best in the NBA. So you can kind of X the Lakers off of that scenario.
Yeah, and you have to wonder how appealing that scenario would be as far as Durant playing with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, when I read that, the first team that comes to mind is the Clippers, because the Clippers have the ability to create two slots. Obviously, Brooklyn has the ability for the two slots as well. But when you look at the roster composition of the Nets versus the roster composition of the Clippers, it would seem to be that the Clippers would be the fit if those two were going to team up and go together. And obviously Durant's in a position where he's going to have to sit out a year regardless, or at least a good portion of next season, if not all of next season, due to the Achilles injury. But that's pretty desirable. And why do you think he would be looking at Kawhi Leonard and that situation?
Well, I mean, he would be looking at it because I think that there's a debate right now this season. Who was the best player in the NBA? Was it Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard? Obviously, Kawhi got the finals MVP. He had a much memorable showing, but you have to account for the fact that obviously Kevin was out for 9 games with that calf strain his calf strain, and then tearing his Achilles in game 5. But I think it's very interesting. There's no question, even if there would be question marks on the fit and who would be the predominant guy, when you combine talent with talent, the rest of it takes care of itself. And I think that both of those guys are team-oriented guys. But I think when you're looking at that, I've been such a defender of the criticism that Kevin's gotten ever since joining the Warriors of, hey, why are you hopping on the bandwagon? But I think there has to be something to be said for him sacrificing his role as well as the Warriors. But if he's colluding with the other second-best player in the NBA, I don't know, as unfair as it might be, how much that strips away one of the narratives that he wants to knock down of, hey, can he win without all that infrastructure around him? It's interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating in the sense that, yeah, he does have this battle, let's say, with Kawhi over who's one, who's two, and there's also the demons that Durant dealt with when he left Oklahoma City to come to the Warriors, where it was the whole, if you can't beat them, join them,
yeah,
kind of thing. Couldn't beat the Warriors at the end of the 16 conference finals. He comes to the Warriors in 2016 via free agency. And now a similar scenario, although Durant hardly played in that final series, but Kawhi Leonard winds up winning the NBA championship, winds up winning a second finals MVP to equal Durant in that category. And I think there's also something to be said, Mark, and I want to get your read on this. You mentioned LeBron James and the drama and the things that surround him. Is there a more drama-free player right now than Kawhi Leonard? Now, maybe Greg Popovich would disagree with that, but if you look at the way this last season has played out and just his demeanor during the finals and as he enters free agency, I mean, speak to that potential appeal, because if there's one thing we've both noticed about Durant these last couple of years, he hates the drama, or does he really hate the drama?
He hates it, but he can't get away from it. And part of that's unavoidable because of the move he made, but he can't help himself into looking at what's being said about him. And you know what? I just from a personal standpoint, I appreciated the give and take because it always cut both ways. I know personally speaking, he got upset with me one time when I asked him after the Draymond flare-up how things are, you know, their first game back, and you're wondering, hey, how are things evolving for the better or just kind of staying the same? And a few days later, to his credit, he pulled me to the side and cleared the air and apologized. And so I think that transparency is something that's rare with the modern professional athlete, especially when it pertains to their interactions with the media. But I think it also opens another window that there's a lot of feeling just around the NBA of why get so wrapped in up into that, be above the fray. But the other kind of interesting wrinkle with this is not only is it a direct contradiction of what LeBron James is, but he could be potentially taking away one of his future teammates. The Lakers cleared cap space in hopes of getting Kawhi Leonard. Now, granted, maybe that slot goes to Jimmy Butler or Kemba Walker or even D'Angelo Russell, but Kawhi Leonard, make no mistake, would be the number one choice. And so it's almost kind of knocking two birds with one stone. He aligns himself with one of the best players in the NBA and denies LeBron a chance to win another ring because of having one less superstar.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina with you until 1 o'clock here. It's Warriors This Week, our special NBA free agency edition of Warriors This Week with less than 30 hours now to go until free agency begins. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. What do you think Kevin Durant ultimately does, and how do the Warriors proceed? Been reported, Bob Myers ready to go out to New York and try and meet with Kevin Durant at some point once Durant takes meetings. So that's the latest on Durant. Let's run down here in the next minute or two just an overview of where things stand with Klay Thompson and with some of the other Warriors free agents. Let's start with Klay.
Yeah, I mean, Klay is almost the opposite of KD, where it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that he is going to re-sign with the Warriors. You know, the Warriors have not wavered in their sentiment that he's going to get a max deal even after he tore the ACL in his left knee, and that's Klay's expectation. Look, it's very interesting. I think when you trace back Klay's sentiments from last year, he was kind of expressing an openness of maybe taking a pay cut because some of the other guys did. But I think the more and more that he did research, he was aware that, hey, if he makes any kind of pay cut or sacrifice, it's not going to help the Warriors construct a better roster. It's just going to save them from luxury taxes. And he knows his value of what he's meant to this organization, and he expects to be compensated for it. But the Warriors feel the same way. So I think at 3:01, you're going to see all the news come out. Klay Thompson, the Warriors, agree to a 5-year max deal.
Yeah, and it looks like Durant's going to take a couple of days. Obviously, he decided 3 years ago on the 4th of July.
Right.
So that's going to take some time to shake out. But just the Warriors being in a position where they could have Klay Thompson locked in and agreed to, that's a huge, I think, sigh of relief in knowing once he recovers from the ACL injury, you've got the Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green core, in theory, at least the ability to have that core back at close to full strength for the beginning of the 2020-21 season and moving forward. Because I think the Warriors, it's twofold, and we'll get into this in more depth. The Warriors want to do everything they can to compete this coming season, but I think the ultimate goal is to be back in the championship contention business for the 2020-2021 season.
Right, and it's a fine line because just the nature of finicky injuries and, you know, losing Kevin Durant, even if he comes back, he's expected to be out all next season because of his Achilles injury. But I think the Warriors, they're looking at it through a different window where they're not thinking rebuilding mode now, even if they're not thinking, hey, they're the championship contenders. They want to be considered a legitimate playoff team, though. So I think that what they're trying to do is maintain that continuity so that they're good enough to make it into the first round, maybe even make it into the second round. And, you know, at that point, maybe things, all bets are off. A lot of times in the playoffs, it's about who's the healthiest, who's at their, you know, most rhythm, who has the most experience. But I think to your point, JD, it's about maintaining that continuity and then having both the kind of roster and development so that they're primed to then make that next run for the 2020-21 season.
888-957-9570. Your phone calls are coming up. There's also news pertaining to Sean Livingston, Quinn Cook, and Jordan Bell. We'll run all of that down for you, plus the latest on Kevin Durant. We've got you covered. It's Warriors This Week. It's JD and Mark Medina, the Bay Area News Group, with you until 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina with you until 1 o'clock here. Warriors This Week, our special NBA free agency edition of the show. Free agency less than 30 hours away, and all kinds of reports and rumors swirling throughout the morning. We'll keep you updated on the very latest with everything going on as it pertains to Kevin Durant, as it pertains to Kawhi Leonard, and then the other Warriors players as well. Mark, we'll get to some phone calls coming up here in just a second. And also the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. If you have any questions for Mark Medina of the Bay Area News Group, Warriors beat writer, he's as piped in as anybody. Feel free to join the conversation at 888-957-9570. Some other news within the last, let's say, 12 to 18 hours regarding Kevon Looney. I'm sorry, regarding Sean Livingston, Quinn Cook, and Jordan Bell. Explain the qualifying offer process as it pertains to Cook and as it pertains to Jordan Bell.
Yeah, so the qualifying offer is usually a formality for teams that is made so that those guys will be restricted free agents. So pertaining to Jordan Bell and Quinn Cook, what now happens for them is if they get an offer with any other team, the Warriors are going to have 3 days to match them. And if they match them, they don't have any other choice. The Warriors keep them. But I think moving forward, because there's so much uncertainty with free agency and the fact that, hey, when you look at Jordan Bell's game and Quinn Cook's game, there's some pluses, there's some minuses. I think that the Warriors are going to canvas the free agency landscape first to see what other backcourt and frontcourt options are available. And then when and if that time comes, when one of those guys or both get an offer, they will then have the ultimate answer of, do we want to match them or keep them? I don't think the Warriors are going to be breaking the bank on either of those guys, but I think that they still see enough potential in both of those players that they at least consider them worthy of getting a qualifying offer.
And it's about control. The
Warriors now have
control. If Quinn Cook gets an offer that they want to keep Quinn Cook around, they can look at keeping him around. They know they have that in their back pocket as long as financially they're comfortable with the terms. If not, they could let Quinn Cook go to whichever team signs him to that offer sheet, and the same thing with Jordan Bell. So to me, it's about flexibility. It's about having options. There's a lot in this process that the Warriors don't control. Kevin Durant's decision. Sounds like Klay Thompson's going to be fine. DeMarcus Cousins, it's going to be up to him figuring out how much money he can make and whether or not he would want to return. There's a lot the Warriors don't control, but on a smaller scale, they do control now Quinn Cook and Jordan Bell. And Sean Livingston, there was this date that his contract needed to be guaranteed, otherwise he needed to be bought out or waived is probably the better term. He had, about $2 million of a $7.7 million contract that was guaranteed if he had been waived. The original deadline was tomorrow, I believe, Sunday the 30th. The Warriors have agreed with Sean to move that date back to July 10th.
Yeah, and I think there's a few things here in play. This gives the Warriors some flexibility to see how things pan out in free agency before determining whether they want to part ways with Livingston. And frankly, it also gives Sean Livingston some more time to reflect on his decision. Now, when I've talked with Sean, and there's been a few others that have talked to him at the tail end of this season, it sounded like that he was strongly leaning towards retirement. Look, he's put 15 years in the NBA. When you look at his season last year, he'll be the first to admit that, A, he didn't feel like he played well, and B, his body's beat up. He missed, I think, a combined 16 games with all these different injuries, load management as well. And I think that as valuable as he is for the Warriors with being that stalwart, that veteran presence in the locker room, the fact that it was a challenge for him to get up every night and also be consistently solid, it diminishes value a little bit. But I think the Warriors also don't want to just throw him away without knowing what's the alternative. So it's kind of a win-win for both sides.
And he could wind up being, in an odd way, a trade piece. At least, again, now the Warriors have that option to explore as free agency plays out.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting because I don't know what value exactly he'll have. And then the other thing is, even if it's not like Sean Livingston has any say in where he gets traded, he doesn't have a no-trade clause. But I know we're having Mark Spears later on today's show, and I'm eager to ask him about this. Sean had told Mark after the finals run ended, with them losing to Toronto, that if he were to play with another team, it would probably only be the Clippers or maybe even the Lakers, just because it's so close to here. So if he goes somewhere else, he might decide, hey, you know what, this is it. Maybe that benefits that team because they're just trying to get rid of salary or just unload other players. But that could be an interesting discussion. But I think the fact that the Warriors and Livingston were able to agree on punting and pushing back the date shows that it's collaborative. There's a mutual respect for each other, and they're trying to make this thing work for both sides.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's start on the phone lines with Bleacher Dave in Oakland. Bleacher Dave, you're up first here on 95.7 The Game.
Man, isn't this fun? All this free agent drama and possibilities that happened recently going around and good stuff. Whatever KD decides to do, I think I heard somebody say he was going to change his mind 25 times on the way to doing it. That's just him. He's indecisive that way. I just read something by Slater that's talking about, you know, that delayed signing trade is kind of not really going to happen, not very feasible, not in the Warriors thinking as much anymore. So it kind of leaves us, you know, with the $50 million question, right? Is KD going to say, this is a guy who's had the Jones fracture, he's got the Achilles, who may be starting to realize and think about his mortality as a player, is he going to want to re-sign here for that Supermax, or is it the case that this whole Supermax concept is really not an incentive for these players on the top of the market and is not working as intended to keep dudes, you know, where they're going to be? Me, it seems to me, I think there's a couple clues here. The dudes live in L.A. the last few off season, and it's talked about how much he loves the ocean, how much he loves L.A. He ain't there now. He's in New York. So I don't want to – I think that means something. I certainly don't think he's going to be a Knick. Kyrie and him in New York sounds like – you guys told me. It sounds like a media dream. Because I think that's a toxic personality stew and the glare of some intense media pressure. Probably way less friendlier than the experience here. We got a lot of respect and not questions about his free agency stuff. I just wonder if that is what he would plan. But for me, it always made sense to me that if he were going to leave, and I don't know that he is, that it would go to the Clippers. Because for all the reasons he's talked about living down there and all that kind of stuff, I always thought that that was a better fit, a better potential place to play, live, better team, better culture, better leadership than either of those teams in New York would be. So I'm wondering, you know, what do you guys think about, you know, that possibility of him going down there? And then kind of my favorite thing going right now is, of course, this can't happen. Well, it can't, but it won't happen. If Kawhi goes to the Lakers.
Right.
I think that would be one heck of a fun team. And everybody's up in the arms again. Oh, super team is super team that. But we see, yeah, super teams are great. It gets you to the championship. You know, you don't always win. I don't think that's frightening or intimidating to me. I think that would be a whole lot of fun basketball, you know, to watch and to root against.
Thanks, Bleacher Dave. Appreciate the call. A couple of things to chew on there.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there.
Let's just start with the pure financial angle of other teams can offer Durant 4, the Warriors can offer him 5. Lay that out and give me your take on how important you think that is, if at all.
Yeah, well, so the Warriors can offer him 5 years, $221 million. Other teams, 4 years, $164. It's an important thing. I mean, Kevin Durant's been on record to Chris Haynes saying that he is wants to maximize his earnings. But because Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant, he can easily recoup that last fifth year of leaving on the table with both, if you were to leave, getting into new business ventures, and two, make it up on his next contract. But I think the interesting wrinkle is because of his Achilles injury and the seriousness of that, does that extra fifth year mean something more? I mean, I was talking to some outside medical doctors, and they were talking about Kevin is entering a little bit of this gray area here because he's Kevin Durant. His style of play is conducive to being able to adjust to these sort of things because his game is so much predicated on fundamentals, and he has that height advantage that even if he loses athleticism, he'll still be a good player, and he's in his prime, but he's in that tail end of his career where after 5 years or 4 years, he's going to be 34, 35, and he's not going to be the same player. And do you want that extra year of security? It's going to be a very tough decision to make. I think it could help the Warriors, but at the same time, we haven't gotten exact clarity to what extent Kevin Durant feels about the Warriors post-Achilles. I know that there's been some reports out that he's mad at the training staff for how they handled his injury, but when I've talked to people in the Warriors, they've been strongly dismissive of that, and they've overly emphasized that they were very collaborative with him, with his business partner, Rich Kleiman, with outside medical doctors on checking all the boxes of, is he ready to play? So those are the tough things for him to navigate. And we're not even talking about the basketball component, the legacy component, all those other things. It's a lot of things for KD to sift through right now.
Which of the, let's throw the Warriors out of the equation, and I have a distinct answer for this. Throw the Warriors out of the equation. Between the Clippers, the Lakers, let's say Brooklyn, and the Knicks. Well, and actually, let's take the Lakers out, because the Lakers, Lakers are not meeting. Misspoke there. I got my Kawhi and my KD kind of intertwined there for a second. Clippers, Brooklyn, Knicks. Among those three teams, we throw the Warriors out. Which one of those three do you think is the best fit for Durant? To me, it's easily the Clippers.
Oh, it's easily the Clippers, because you look at it through three things. I remember when we were watching the Clippers take it to six games against the Warriors. They had almost the perfect roster. All they were missing was a superstar, and his name was Kevin Durant.
And the superstar that was killing them on the other end for a good portion of that series.
Exactly.
Just destroying them.
Exactly. And you also add in the fact that Doc Rivers is the most accomplished coach out of those three teams. They have a lot of good front office synergy going on with Steve Ballmer setting the tone as ownership, being a guy that wants to spend, hire good people. Lawrence Frank has been a great GM. Jerry West, we know the work that he's done with the Lakers back in the day, the Memphis Grizzlies, being a consultant with the Warriors. He's really laid a foundation down there. And remember, there were a lot of factors that went into play of why Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, but Jerry West was one of them. He had a phone call with Kevin, and you wonder, can he have that same kind of signature, you know, deal where Jerry West, once again, is Mr. Clutch, and you juxtapose that with the Knicks. I know that the New York thing is appealing because of two things. Rich Kleiman and himself have different business partnerships already in New York. I was talking to Clifford Ray earlier this week, you know, a well-time Warriors luminary, and he was asking me the question, just think of how appealing would it be for you as a superstar player to be able to be the guy that is the Knicks savior. I think that that intrigues Kevin. But also, if I'm Kevin and I'm having these meetings with Jim Dolan and hearing how he runs the franchise, I can't help but think he's going to look at, wow, the Warriors are above and beyond light years ahead of the Knicks, number one. But number two, the Clippers are as well. So I don't want to say that the Knicks aren't a serious contender. If they weren't, he wouldn't have a meeting with them. But I just can't wrap myself up with the fact that Kevin would go to such a dysfunctional organization.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line. Couple of good ones here. 925. Tom Brokaw with JD today? Question mark?
Hey, I'll take
that. I know you get that one a lot, right?
I'll take
in terms
that.
Of the pipes, the voice.
Yeah, the kind of the monotone voice. Hey, I'll take that. I mean, Tom Brokaw was this award-winning anchor for NBC. I mean, I think that has to be a good thing when we're talking about the broadcast field, right?
No question about it. From the 650, and I'll throw this one to you, Mark, do you think maybe Bob Myers, was also stressed about his future as general manager because they hadn't signed his extension yet? I didn't really think that was in play. What do you make of that?
I didn't sense that. It's not clear how many years he had left, but I think this was two things. One, there was never any wavering from the Warriors on how they felt about how Bob Myers has done his job. I mean, he's won two NBA Executive of the Year awards. The Warriors' success speaks for itself, but I think it was their way of kind of getting ahead on all these other things. Remember, they've been losing people in the front office and training staff. They might be losing Kevin Durant, but they wanted to keep a pretty key figure in their front office, and I think it showed faith that regardless of how this turns out with free agency this summer, if nothing else, they'll have a stabilizing force that will at least help them be competitive in the next few years.
Other question I have for you, how many times does a story have to be reported and confirmed and reported and confirmed? Because we do have the great Shams Charania reporting through sources. Klay Thompson of the Warriors plan to reach an agreement on a 5-year, $190 million contract.
Yeah, that was yesterday, right? But, and you know what? In fairness, even to them, like, as soon as Klay Thompson tore his ACL the next day, Bob Myers was saying, yeah, we're offering him a max deal. Now, I think the gray area with Klay, specifically with that story, is I had heard from people in his camp that as much as the Warriors had not wavered their public stance, they were still a little struck that Joe Lacob was silent. And when you sift through his words, he was saying on one hand he loves Klay. He's a Warrior, no pun intended, hitting those free throws. But he also said something to the effect that as much as it's a no-brainer to offer Klay a max deal, he wants to see more data because of his injury. And that didn't sit well with people in Klay's camp. And so I think the thought was, hey, if there's any hesitation of offering this max deal, he's going to entertain offers. But at the end of the day, Klay Thompson has said time and time again, ever since I talked with him last summer, he wants to be a Warrior for life. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow.
I found it interesting that there were still numerous leaks about Klay taking meetings if the Warriors don't offer the max, just because it hadn't been reported until yesterday for sure that they were going to offer him the max.
Yeah.
It was almost Klay's camp, if you will, somebody making sure the Warriors were on notice.
Oh, I think it was exactly that. I think it was a forewarning that, look, Klay is the ultimate no-maintenance guy. Steve Kerr often calls him, he's not low-maintenance, he's no-maintenance. But because of how he's done all those things on the court, not worrying about being the guy, being a two-way player, obviously being a great shooter, being that team guy all around, does not mean that he's just going to go with the flow with free agency when he knows that taking a pay cut does absolutely nothing in helping the team construct its roster. So he wanted to make it emphatically clear that if there's any hesitation on anything at all, he's not going to be afraid to look at some of the offers elsewhere.
Charlie in New York at 888-957-9570. Hey, Charlie, you're on 95.7 The Game with J.D. and Medina.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing? I just wanted to add my 2 cents in about the Durant situation. I mean, I thought he was gone pre-injury, and I still think in a lot of ways he is. But the question, I have a few questions, I guess, and then I'll take your answers off the phone. If he were, I can understand the scenario if he wanted to go to a franchise like the Knicks and turn them around, to be the face of that franchise and turn them around. But with, after this injury, wouldn't it be a better situation for him to be, I'm not saying he should go back to the Warriors. I don't know if that's the best move for the franchise. But say he were to come back to the Warriors, he'd come back to a team that has a ready-made, potentially, you know, they have a few, they'll have Klay, they'll have Steph. So the pressure on him to perform at an elite level won't be there necessarily. He has other players to play around. If he were to go to the Knicks, the pressure on him to perform, and I'm being in New York, they're basically, the Knicks are paying for 2 years or 2.5 years of service, because that first year off of an Achilles, as you could see with Boogie, he'd be on a minutes restriction and all. So I'm just trying to, I mean, it's a rhetorical question. I'm trying to get into Durant's head, because if he were to say he wanted to go to the Clippers with Kawhi, how is that any different a scenario than if he were to stay with the Warriors? He would be going to a team, you can argue, the Clippers, if they were to sign Kawhi and Durant, are even a more winning situation than the Warriors would be in 2 years. So I'm trying to, I'm trying to, again, it's a rhetorical question. I don't know how you guys can respond. I'll take your answer off the phone. But, like, wouldn't he just be better off staying with the Warriors, get that fifth year, be on a team that's ready made? Unless he just wants to change the scenery. But going to a team like the Knicks, even Brooklyn, I think the pressure on him would be too great, especially post injury.
Thanks,
anyway,
Charlie.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. And the question that you had of, you know, I'm trying to understand Durant's mindset. I mean, we've been trying to understand that the entire year, and that's not a knock on him. I think it's just more that he is a thinker, and there's a lot of variables that he's considering. My sense all along from just talking to Kevin and getting to know him a little bit more these past 2 years is if he were to leave the Warriors, I frankly don't think it really has anything to do with the Warriors. He's obviously won 2 championships, 2 finals MVPs. Yeah, there were some incidents, the Draymond argument, maybe some push-pull of his style of play versus the ball movement and playing with joy. But by and large, he liked everything with the Warriors. So I think when he leaves, if he leaves, it will have to do more with what that other team is offering and to what extent does he want to prove that he can win elsewhere. Not because he wants to be the guy, but because he wants to kind of clean up some of the legacy criticisms that, you know, Walt Frazier, for example, saying those championships that he won deserves an asterisk because he was with that all-star talent. I get your point that if he were to be with the Clippers, what does that really change? But the reality, out of respect for the Warriors, he was joining a team that, A, had already won a championship in 2015.
And won 73 games.
And won 73 games in 2016. The Clippers, they're on the rise. They're doing
and
good things.
And beat him.
Right,
along
and
the way.
Beat him. And here, the Clippers, they're a good team. They're on the rise. But they got to the first round. They gave the Warriors a test in 6 games, but nothing more. So I think it's not a complete comparison there.
Kevin Durant and or Kawhi Leonard are exactly what the Clippers need. They really need one of them. I mean, they have the ability to get both of them, but you know, to your point earlier about the one thing the Clippers were lacking with this young, nice young team with pieces and some nice veteran pieces, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, that what they were missing was a stud small forward. So really, if you get Kawhi, you plug him right in, I think they're a championship contender right off the bat, at least a Western Conference contender right off the bat. If you get Kevin Durant, obviously now that he's not healthy, maybe you're not a championship contender with Durant alone next year, certainly, because he's not going to be able to play, but you'd be in that conversation for 2021.
Right, and the other thing that has gotten me wondering, and this makes it even more complex with Kevin, is ever since that injury happened, the fact that the Warriors were with him at such a vulnerable moment where you see Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala helping him, you know, off the floor to the locker room, and Bob Myers being so remorseful and contrite and emotional in that post-game press conference, how much does that stick with Kevin, number one? And number two, the narrative throughout his time with the Warriors was that it was easy for him, and then, you know, during the playoffs when he was out for a while, did they really need Kevin? Or are they better without him? Which was just nonsense. But at the same time, the fact that he was so good his first game back against Toronto, that they were frankly struggling against Toronto without him, it reinforced that they need him. And if he's going to be out for another season because of his Achilles, does this help the Warriors in any weird way? Because they're no longer considered the NBA favorites. And so by the time that he comes back, it's very clear what his value means even more.
Well, I'm a big believer, Mark, in how things end matters in a season. Like we could speculate, and we've spent the whole year going back to really the last year when he agreed to a 1-1,
right,
where he could opt out and be a free agent again here tomorrow officially. The conversation has been, frankly, all about him and what's he going to do? Because the assumption was, well, Klay Thompson's going to stay. DeMarcus Cousins is going to get his ring, and then he's going to go and get paid. The question was all about Kevin Durant. And you know, we can look at the way things may look at the beginning of the year, the way things may look after he gets into it with Draymond, the way things look when they're winning a couple of big games without him in the regular season, to the way things look when they don't have him in the playoffs. How it ends officially matters, and I'm kind of with you. I think how it ended for the Warriors, it maybe showed them in a different light than he had thought of them as, or at least was going down the road toward thinking of them as.
Right, and you know, for those listening out here, and I totally understand if there's criticism, hey, like there's so much speculation of what factor does this go into play, that go into play. It really might just be nothing more that if Kevin leaves, he just wants to take on a new challenge. But I think the underlying point is, if it was simple as what is best for Kevin financially and for winning, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. It would have been the Warriors the minute he signed his 1+1 last year. And if it was simply those two things, maybe he wouldn't even taken the 1+1 and wanted the flexibility. He would have just signed a multi-year deal because of how good the Warriors' position is. But because there's all these possible other variables, you have to consider to what degree is that the driving force.
All right, Randy, Scott, Robin, all coming up next here at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's been reported and confirmed and reported and confirmed again. The Warriors and Klay Thompson expected to reach an agreement on a full 5-year max contract right at 3 o'clock tomorrow when free agency opens. We'll get into that and what's coming up with Kevin Durant as well. It's Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina, and you at 888-957-9570. Also, the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. We do have some breaking news unrelated to the Warriors. Woj reporting that Denver is picking up the $30 million option on Paul Millsap.
Oh.
Which comes as a little bit of a surprise to me. Your initial thoughts on that, obviously, without being, not having the full salary structure and scale and grid spreadsheet of the Nuggets finances in front of you. A little surprised just offhand or not really?
Not really. I mean, I think Paul Millsap is a good complimentary piece. And I was wondering, say teams like the Lakers and the Knicks, they miss out on all those top free agent options, you know, for whatever reason, because the dominoes fall a certain way. He would have been a good secondary choice, not like for a max deal, but for a good complimentary piece. But I think it's almost, it's not the exact equivalent, but Marcus Gasol picked up his option the other day with the Toronto Raptors. That was another guy that was expected to be kind of the second tier of good free agents that, you know, the teams that missed out on the top guys could settle on.
Scott in Berkeley is up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Morning, John. Matt, I'm very much a fan of your work.
Mark.
I have a couple of thoughts here about Kevin. I can't imagine the Knicks, and I've said this before, because of Dolan. Now, I'm thinking in retrospect that somehow the interest with the Knicks came about because of the rumors involving Jeff Bezos buying the Knicks. Would I be wrong in that, Mark?
Jeff Bezos? I think you mean Rich Kleiman.
Well, I mean Kleiman having some contact indicating that Bezos was interested in buying the Knicks.
I think it had more to do with Rich Kleiman, had more to do with the fact that, you know, you look at Kevin Durant's stature and the Knicks have not won a championship for a while, that could be something that adds to his legacy, not to mention the fact that, you know, Kevin has so many business ventures out west. This is a new, you know, form of revenue streams for Kevin. So Jeff Bezos has had an impact on this world with Amazon and the Washington Post and everything else, but I don't think that Jeff Bezos is impacting Kevin Durant's free agency.
What I meant was only from the standpoint that the interest in the Knicks might have been because of that rumor.
Yeah, I think there's more to it than that. I mean, I've never even heard of Jeff Bezos' influence to begin with until you called, but if there was a thing, I think you would move that at like number 30 out of all the things that influence it.
Okay, and I guess when I thought about any, you know, my situation has been thinking that since the whole Davis thing has begun, and that's not set in stone, right? Because I guess they've exchanged the medical paperwork, but New Orleans hasn't done the physical, right? Physicals.
The trade's going to go through.
Yeah. The trade is not official yet, but yeah.
To clarify with that, the moratorium is July 6th, so everything isn't official.
Exactly.
Then. But it's going to happen. New Orleans isn't going to make that kind of move and then all of a sudden it changes his mind. And obviously from Anthony's end, he's wanted out of there for a while. So nothing technically is official till the moratorium ends, but this isn't a DeAndre Jordan situation where suddenly some party has cold feet and it's reversed.
Indicating that, I guess my question would be, if New Orleans hasn't brought him in for the physical yet, what happens if a hematologist looks at Ingram's blood work and says, this can't happen?
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott's just full of wild hypotheticals.
Well,
today.
No. I mean, in fairness to Brandon, that was a serious
no doubt
injury. But before trades are made, even though you get in a physical once they're in the building, they get access to the medical records when they're negotiating. So,
right. There's,
I mean,
a,
you
there's
never
a certain
say,
level
you never,
of review.
You never say never, but the Pelicans made this move after seeing his medical records.
Right.
So,
and they were comfortable enough.
Again,
with
nothing's
it.
Official until it's official, whether it's the moratorium or health, but they didn't make this decision on the word that, oh yeah, Ingram's health is fine. They looked at medical records.
Randy and Hayward is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Randy.
Hey, so I think with Jacob Evans and...
Randy, we're having a hard time. Let's put Randy back on hold. We'll see if we can reconnect with Randy. Randy, give us a call back.
I think he said Jacob Evans, and then he went scuba diving.
Well, it was a on the board, it said Quinn Cook. It said Jordan Bell. I think what he was getting at was, are Quinn Cook and Jacob Evans redundant?
Oh, it can be. I mean, the reality is both guys have question marks.
Two different skill sets. Might play the same position, but two different skill sets.
Yeah, and I mean, Steve Kerr and Larry Harris are saying that Jacob Evans is going to assume more point guard responsibilities. But I think that's relatively speaking. I think Quinn Cook is obviously the more proven point guard as a playmaker, as a shooter. There's questions about his defense, while Jacob's almost the reverse. I mean, he didn't really play at all last year as a rookie. But if you're going to measure his strengths and weaknesses, there's more question marks about his shooting and his playmaking than his defense. But that being said, they're both young guys. So I think that they're right now, when you're looking at the Warriors and what they feel they need to address, A, it's shooting, and B, it's having backcourt depth. So I don't think it's an either or. And I think ideally for the Warriors, they don't have to settle for just Quinn Cook and Jacob Evans. They can look to see what's available in free agency. Maybe they can to get Derrick Rose on a veteran minimum deal. Maybe Seth Curry on a veteran minimum deal. Maybe Austin Rivers is part of that mid-level exception. These are not perfect options. And, you know, it hinges on those guys willing to take those kind of contracts. But those are the scenarios that the Warriors will be exploring before settling on just those two guys.
Everyone on the Chilton Autobody text line trying to read the tea leaves here, Mark, including this text from the 831. If Kevin Durant had a bad taste with the Warriors regarding the injury, then he would not entertain even having a meeting with them. The fact that there's a meeting with the Warriors means that he's actually going to stay.
You know, it's an interesting thing. I think he makes a good point that if it was so awful, he wouldn't have a meeting. But I think there's two things in play. Just because there's a meeting does not mean that he's going to stay, because usually the incumbent team at least is given the courtesy of having their chance, even if a guy feels like it's a foregone conclusion they're leaving. But yeah, it's better to have a pitch meeting than nothing at all, for sure.
Mark Stein reporting the Pelicans are interested in Al Horford.
Oh. So David Griffin is making moves here.
The Al Horford suitors are just aplenty at this point.
Yeah, and I think with Al Horford, he is a very interesting guy, because he is a valuable piece that you want to have on your team. But if he's your free agency splash and nothing else, I don't know what that accomplishes. But here with the Pelicans, they have really done well in this trade, where it benefited the Lakers, obviously, because they got Anthony Davis. But they were able to get so much young talent in return, future first-round picks. And if they're able to get Al Horford, he's a guy that's really going to be able to, A, help them win games, be a solid contributor, but also be a very good mentor for all these young players. So I think it couldn't be more ideal than for those two, that team with New Orleans and for Al Horford to be able to partner together.
And Al Horford's been linked to a number of different teams, I think ranging from Philadelphia to Dallas to the Clippers to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And now the Pelicans in a myriad of different reports over the course of the last week and a half since him and the Celtics essentially agreed to part ways.
I want to ask Tim Bontemps this because he knows the Celtics in and out. I mean, what happened to them? Like, they were considered the best team in the East on paper, and when you talk to people on the Warriors, they really felt threatened. Maybe threatened is a strong word, but they really felt like they would have the best shot in beating them because of Kyrie Irving, the fact that they have so much talent, the fact that even without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward during significant stretches of last year, that they had so many young complementary pieces that they would have the depth to match with the Warriors. Like, how did this suddenly unravel?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. Let's keep
sure
it.
Tim has an opinion on that.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Let's let everybody know you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. We move now toward hour number two of Warriors This Week, our special free agency edition, with free agency now just 29 hours away, 3 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow. And the Warriors, with some good news being reported and confirmed and re-reported and reconfirmed again on the Klay Thompson front, the Warriors and Klay Thompson expected to agree to a 5-year, $190 million max contract in Los Angeles right at 3:01 tomorrow.
Yeah, and the thing with Klay is that when you talk to people around him, Michael Thompson, for example, there was always this thought that, hey, well, does he want to play with the Lakers? Does he want to be in L.A. to play with the Clippers? Does he want to be the guy after being third fiddle to Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and not getting the limelight? And really, Klay Thompson is such a unique guy that he never cared about any of those scenarios. I think even though, you know, he grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant with the Lakers, like, I don't think he wants any part of that. He doesn't want the drama. He doesn't want, even if LeBron James is so talented, to deal with the shenanigans of, you know, some of that passive-aggressive leadership style. He doesn't want to deal with TMZ. He just wants the simple life. And I think that it's something to be said that Klay has always been aware that grass isn't always greener on the other side. And he knows how rare and special what Golden State has to offer. And I think you have to credit two things. A, Klay's personality, but B, the fact that he grew up as a son of an NBA player like Michael, who is so involved with his life and shared so much wisdom, that he knows how this business works. And I think that that totally ties into when he's making this kind of decision with his future.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to participate in the program. What do you think Kevin Durant ultimately decides? Warriors getting good news on Klay Thompson and his return, and how do you fill out the rest of this roster if you're the Golden State Warriors? Because I'm looking at it, at least for the beginning of 2019-20, no starting center, no starting small forward, no starting two guard on this Warriors roster, and not a lot of money to be spent to bring replacements, even stopgap replacements, in, and a lot of young players in the fold that need to gain experience as well. So we'll get into that coming up. More of your phone calls as well. And before we get to Robin on the phone lines, the 925 checking in on the text line regarding our conversation about the Celtics, the fall of the Boston Celtics begins and ends with Kyrie Irving. I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah, and that's what always made it weird for me to process why Kevin would want to team up with Kyrie. I think Kevin obviously has a lot of respect for Kyrie's talent, the fact that he's his own thinker, but when I'm looking at Kyrie from afar, I can't see of any example of him exhibiting any kind of good leadership. And you juxtapose that to Steph Curry and a lot of people on the Warriors, like, it's night and day. And I think at some point, if Kevin were to play with Kyrie, that would quickly sour. Kevin would eventually not like to play with him. So it's his future. He could do whatever he wants. Like, we have no stake in this. I'm just analyzing objectively here. I still can't understand why it would be appealing for Kevin to team up with Kyrie.
We mentioned the Mark Stein report of the Pelicans' interest in Al Horford, among many other teams. Al Horford has just within the last hour started following Zion Williamson and Drew Holiday on Instagram, apparently.
You were connecting the dots here.
Again, everybody's trying to read the tea leaves.
You know what? Like, there's such a fine line with social media with connecting the dots, and you never want to be the guy of, hey, this guy followed who, this guy followed that, or he liked an Instagram. But well, then what's so weird is a lot of times those suspicions actually mean something.
I would be the guy that would do it just to bleep with people. Just to bleep
with people.
I would just be messing with people left and right. Well, I'd follow this guy. I'd unfollow guys. I'd refollow them.
It was a perfect example, and I mean, so much has changed with social media and analysis, but this was kind of the beginning stages of it. I remember my first year on the Lakers beat. This is when Dwight Howard decided to leave the Lakers and go to Houston. And within minutes, Kobe Bryant unfollowed Dwight's Twitter account. And you're like, do you really want to make a big deal of it? But then he posts on Instagram a photo of him and Pau Gasol, how they're brothers. Few of us asked Dwight what he thought of Kobe unfollowing him. He seemed to be offended. And then when you open training camp, it was pretty clear that Kobe like had no respect for Dwight. So it actually was a thing, even if it seems petty.
We're all human.
Yeah.
We're all human. And yeah, I think a lot of times those types of things wind up ringing more true than you'd want to maybe admit.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's just you don't want to be that guy. But oftentimes social media behavior with players, like that's the first glimpse of what they really think. Like this isn't the filtered response. This isn't what, you know, the publicist or the PR person is telling that player.
It's human.
What to
it's
say
natural.
Day. This is the immediate knee jerk reaction. As much as look, there's a lot of fault that the media.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.